Welcome to our service for the Feast of the Presentation of Christ in the Temple. In time past, and in some churches still, the feast is called Candlemas, a day when traditionally every candle in the house would be lit to welcome Christ into his Father's house. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, grace and peace be with you, and keep you in the love of Christ. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God.
Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have done those things which we ought not to have done, and we have failed to do those things that we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Collect for the Feast of the Presentation of Christ. Almighty and ever-living God, clothed in majesty, whose beloved Son was this day presented in the temple in the substance of our flesh, grant that we may be presented to you with pure and clean hearts by your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Malachi, the coming messenger. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver, until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I'll be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers in their wages, the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the alien, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 2, beginning at the 22nd verse. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and blessed God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and said to his mother Mary, This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The light of Christ has come into the world. The light of Christ has come into the world. All men must be born again to see the kingdom of God. The water and the bring new life in God's love.
The light of Christ has come into the world.
God gave up his only son out of love for the world, so that all those who believe in him will live forever.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Jen and I had a candle on the table for our dinner on Tuesday evening. It was our 41st wedding anniversary, and we couldn't go out, so it was the best we could do. Once upon a time, of course, candles were simply domestic essentials. "Here comes the candle to light you to bed," we sang as children. But nowadays we think of them as rather romantic. We talk about candlelit dinners or carols by candlelight. Lately, aromatic candles have become all the rage. I believe there are people who use candles to help them relax in a warm bath. I can't help feeling I'd be sure to knock them off the side. Our wedding anniversary was Tuesday. On Wednesday, all of us were encouraged to light a candle to commemorate a very different anniversary. It was Holocaust Remembrance Day, and candles were lit to remember the 6 million Jews and others who perished in those awful years. Candles of different kinds play a part in most religions. Many of our Jewish friends who lit a candle on Wednesday, on Friday evening will light the menorah, the sevenfold candelabra of Judaism, to mark the beginning of Shabbat. Meanwhile, our Hindu fellow citizens were unable, sadly, last year to celebrate Diwali, the great festival of light, as socially as they would usually do so and would have wished. And in some Catholic countries, on this feast of Candlemas, which is, strictly speaking, the 2nd of February, candles are still lit in every room of the house to mark the day. In the time of Jesus, the most important light in the land was the lamp of the presence of God, shining in the temple in Jerusalem. It was tended day and night so that it would not go out. It symbolized the eternal presence of God in his house of prayer. It would have been shining then, on the day when Joseph and Mary brought their firstborn son, Jesus, to the temple to make the customary sacrifice to celebrate his birth. We read the story in our New Testament reading today. They meet a man called Simeon there. The description of Simeon is one of those beauties of the Bible which it is easy to pass by as we move on to what he says about Jesus. But we should take time to value him. We tend to think of him as an elderly man. The Holy Spirit had told him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's anointed, and his reaction to seeing Jesus is that he can now depart in peace. He gives us the impression also as having the wisdom of an elder. Luke says that he was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. The word consolation is an interesting one. There were certainly many Jewish people who were hoping for liberation, the liberation of Israel. The country was occupied by the Romans and had lost its autonomy and independence. Worse still, for Jewish religious sensibilities, this meant that the land which the Lord had promised to Abraham and his successors forever was now dominated by Gentiles, pagans, idolatrous polytheists who had no allegiance to or knowledge of the Lord, the God of Israel, the one true God. But it seems not to be liberation from that foreign yoke that Simeon is looking for. His understanding is a spiritual one. It is indeed the Messiah whom he hopes to see before he dies. But the Holy Spirit rests upon him, says Luke, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And perhaps Simeon therefore understands that it is a spiritual consolation rather than a political readjustment that his people more truly need from the Messiah whom God has promised. At any rate, Joseph and Mary bring the child to the temple, and somehow Simeon just knows. Presumably, he knows because the Holy Spirit rests on him, and he's accustomed to listening for the Spirit's voice. The voice of the Spirit will be one of Luke's great themes both in this, his Gospel, and even more in his second book, the Book of Acts. It's Luke who gives us the account of the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit first falls in power on the disciples. And from that day forward, it is the prompting of the Spirit that drives the apostles outward in mission from Jerusalem. When Simeon sees the child, he takes him in his arms and blesses God. Our translations tend to say, praised God, but the word is eulogēs, the word we usually use for blessing, and the same word that is used for Simeon's blessing of Mary and Joseph a minute later. It is perhaps worth noting that Simeon does not bless the child. The lesser cannot bless the greater. And Simeon knows that he himself is blessed by holding the child in his arms. Rather then, he blesses God for the child and then blesses the father and mother. The words that Simeon speaks about Jesus in his arms have rung down through the Christian centuries, and especially the Anglican centuries, as the canticle we call the Nunc Dimittis. In the Book of Common Prayer, it was set in the service of evening prayer to follow the New Testament lesson. In hearing the reading from the New Testament, the congregation has heard the story of the coming of Christ, and so we respond as Simeon did, with a song of thanksgiving and praise. Typically, as its name suggests, the canticle would have been sung, and it remains one of the great memories of Evensong. Both John and Maya Morris, whom we lost in the last 2 years, asked for the Nunc Dimittis to be recited as their coffins were taken from Pembrin Church out into the graveyard, and it was a privilege to say the words for them. There is one striking line of the canticle which may explain why the Feast of the Presentation came to be known as Candlemas, a festival of light. Remember that Simeon has been awaiting the Messiah, the consolation of his own people, the Jews, and he now believes that he has seen the Messiah in the infant in his arms. But he is inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak more widely. God's salvation, he says, has been prepared not just in the sight of Israel, but in the sight of all people. The child will indeed be the glory of the Lord's people, Israel, but that is because he will be a light for revelation to the Gentiles, or as we used to say, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Both in his Gospel and in the Book of Acts, Luke begins the history of the gospel message in Jerusalem, where the lamp of the presence is burning to symbolize God's dwelling there. But now, driven by the power of the Spirit, the light of Christ will shine out from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. This child will be a light to lighten not just Israel, but a light to lighten the Gentiles. Nations shall come to your light, sings Isaiah, and kings to the brightness of your dawning. And so we too will end with that great song of the faith that Simeon gave to the world. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people Israel. Amen.
The affirmation of faith. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, who made the world?
I believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, who redeemed humankind?
I believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God?
I believe and trust in him. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yn tad, yr hwnwyd yn y fwydd, sarn teddiad dy enw. Deled y dernas, gwneled y awyllus. Megis yn y nef, fechlu ar y ddea hefyd. Dyro ni heddiw ein bar y benyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion, fel y maddeiwn ni na ein dyledwyr. Ac nac o'r roi ni y brofedigaeth, eithaf gwared ni rhag drwg. Can i seiddo ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all people. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service, and by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. Lord, we pray for your church throughout the world, that you will guide it and nurture it so that all Christian people can pray together in harmony, in truth, and in peace. We pray especially for Christians around the world who are not able to openly profess their faith and indeed are persecuted and harassed in trying to do so. Bring hope, O Lord, to all your suffering people in their anguish and pain. Be thou their hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all the victims of the COVID pandemic in all countries of the world. We pray especially for our own country, which has been particularly hard hit, and especially pray for the legions of NHS workers who are selflessly treating all those with serious disease. We pray for all those involved in administering the vaccine, from the scientists who developed the vaccine, those involved in the production and distribution of it, and for those who actually administer the injection to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray for all the leaders of the nations of the world, and pray that they may govern in a just and righteous way. We pray that they will work together to achieve a peaceful and a carbon neutral future world, so that your people will thrive and flourish on this perfect planet. We pray for our own Sovereign Lady, our own government in London and Cardiff, and our own Ceredigion Council. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we commend to your care all those who are suffering either a bodily illness or infirmity or a mental illness. We pray that you will comfort and be with them in their distress and will grant them a happy end to their suffering. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for all your people who have died and especially those known to us. We pray for those left behind who grieve and struggle to cope with their loss. Help them, Lord, in their grief. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, we bless thy holy name for the grace and virtue declared in all thy saints. Grant that we, rejoicing in their fellowship and following their good examples, may at thy Son's appearing be set with them on his right hand and be made partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Hear us, O heavenly Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate, to whom with thee and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen.
May the love of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.